Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is an exciting week. If you are listening to this currently, we might be on the racetrack. In IndyCars, we are in a testing week. Indy 500 testing is underway. That is if the weather cooperates. We, however, are recording this show on Sunday because Monday is the eclipse, and I have engineering meetings at 8 a.m., and then we are doing eclipse things. I'm going to be driving a NASCAR Xfinity car two-seater around the speedway for the eclipse. That may or may not be confirmed. I'm not sure. If you are listening to this now, you might have already seen that. But I was like, yeah, heck yeah, I'll do that. When Roger Penske asks you to drive something, you say yes all the time. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that was in the cards potentially. We have announced a Indy 500 primary sponsor for my own self, which I want to talk about. Very excited to be the number 24 polka dot Chevrolet. Bing bong bang, like, let's go. Very excited. We are currently on the racetrack, and we have a great guest as well. We have a fantastic guest. This wouldn't be an IndyCar show without a tremendously talented motor racing pilot. Colton Herta is joining us as well, which you can hear and watch as well. If you're just checking out this episode, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please follow the podcast on all the social media platforms. That helps us a lot. Throw us some comments. Leave us some feedback. We like to interact, Chase and I both, and producer Bobby as well, with the Speed Street accounts. So we appreciate you guys. But let's get to it. We got a lot of exciting things to talk about. The Indy 500 is not here yet, but boy, is it getting close. Chase, what do you think? We got testing going on this week. You can watch it on the Peacock. How are we feeling?
I can smell it. I can genuinely smell it.
Literally, with your nose.
Well, I mean, my studio is half of a race car shop, so it kind of smells like gas in here sometimes. But good. It might just be that. But either way it goes, I have never been more excited for an Indy 500, I think, in my life. I'm so ready to get up to Speedway. Love it here, you know, down in New Orleans. It's just getting really hot. It's starting to get really hot. So
we need that this week. So yes. I wish we could have
that. Just going to push the heat. Just going to push it up.
Yes, there's been a lot of chatter. Obviously, this show comes out on Wednesday, and we are scheduled to be on track, so you might be listening to this, and we might be on track, and boy, do I hope so. I'll kind of read through a little bit of the schedule this week. There is rain in the forecast. There is some sketchiness. I was actually also texting with Kyle Larson recently, and Kyle Larson is interested in coming on our program after the test to maybe talk about it. So let's keep our fingers crossed that we can work out something for that. Would be awesome to talk to Kyle Larson after his two-day test. It was great to chat with him briefly. I think if it doesn't rain, great. If it does, I hope they let us run Friday. I don't know if that's the case. I do believe that we are able to, if that's the case. Kyle did mention that, I think, that if one of the days gets rained out, I think we can run on the Friday. So we'll see. But let's just keep our fingers crossed. Indiana weather, I mean, we all know that can be a battle. It's got, it was snowing 2 days ago, and I was outside walking in the sun yesterday. So it's absurd the way it works. It's almost a crime the way the weather works here, but it is what it is. So first of all, I want to get to my, this is a bit of personal news. The sponsor announcement, we have finally announced our primary sponsor for the Indy 500 with the number 24 Chevrolet with Dreier Rheinbohl Cusick Motorsports, and it is Polkadot. And you're like, hang on, what is that? Well, it's very pink and white. Our car is very pink and white. It's very bright. It's very exciting. I've been working on this deal with some folks for several months now. And if you're not familiar with Polkadot, it's in the crypto space. We are in the crypto space. But I'm going to read you a couple. I've got some notes on this to kind of educate people, right? And so my defining what Polkadot is Polkadot is the powerful, secure core of tomorrow's free and open internet called Web3. It's not controlled by big tech, where individuals control their own personal data, information, and finances. So Polkadot's like the Swiss Army knife for that new internet that allows anyone, anywhere to help build things and contribute to a freer, more open web. So very high-tech stuff. The creator of Ethereum is the one who created Polkadot. Gavin Wood is his name. Very, very exciting. This deal was literally voted on. It's like crowdfunding taken to a whole higher level. I showed up to this great community of basically people who own DOT. DOT is the currency that is created around Polkadot. So you know, if you're a DOT holder, yeah, you know, it's essentially, you know, I own Bitcoin, I own Ethereum, I own DOT, whatever. So, like, you know, not a financial advisor also as well. I always have to say that. But if you're a holder of DOT, you can vote on whether you wanted this proposal to go through or not. And it's an incredible situation. The DOT holders, the community, the Polkadot community are the ones that actually voted for us to get this deal. And it was an incredible process. It was basically like us just pitching, hey, this is what we got. The whole deal was public. Part of this deal is also a couple NASCAR truck races and Nitrocross races. Like, this was a deal that has wrapped a couple different things into it. Now, the NASCAR truck side, Nitrocross side, we're obviously going to wait to announce more details on that. But you will be seeing me in a NASCAR truck race, if not more races, at some point, thanks to this deal in a Polkadot truck. So that's really, really exciting. It's just something that I'm really proud of. It was a really cool deal that we've been working on for a long time. A lot of great community members.
I'm Paul.
A lot of people probably won't understand this, which I understand.
I think we could help them though. Decentralization is
exactly
is what this is. And I just want to say this much to help with the understanding of it. I don't know who's going to be doing your merch, but I've already got a t-shirt idea. I just want daily decentralized. That's what,
there you go, boom,
that's what we need, bro. We just go
decentralized
daily. Either way around, potato patata, baby. I just think that
exactly you,
like, some very high tech is in right now. Big tech is hot.
Exactly.
Okay. And
so very excited about this. It's a deal that takes care of the team. It takes care of a great group of people that are going to be putting the Polkadot community on a very, very large scale from a marketing perspective. And this is the future. You know, the Polkadot is an innovation hub, a place like really a place where people are, you know, the digital future is being written. So very, very excited about that. We're going to have merch. We're going to have cool stuff. But if you're a DOT holder, we appreciate you. And those that voted on this, it was really, really great. So that's our sponsor. We've got a great car. Would you like to see the car, Chase?
I would love to see the car.
Because if you are listening to this, it's already been announced, but right now it hasn't. But boom, there it is.
Oh,
pink
my
car. If you're on YouTube, you're seeing it now as well.
Bruh.
Pink, white, and I promise it doesn't look like the MSR cars. It's a little bit different. We got a little bit of yellow on the wings. Ooh. Which is kind of nice.
That's that pink lemonade.
There it is. Pink lemonade.
Very refreshing.
Baby. So
on a hot day.
We're locked in, very excited about the Polkadot Chevrolet. Can't thank that community enough. This is going to be an amazing deal. We're going to have a lot of content around it, a lot of great stuff. And this is something that you'll see throughout the year for me. They are now like the amount of budget that has been, you know, essentially distributed, the deal outline is this takes care of me for some NASCAR stuff, which is awesome. And I'm excited for that as well. So
yeah,
Stay tuned for more announcements in the future, probably after May. But really, really cool. So that takes care of that. Personal announcements. Very, very excited. But let's talk about the Indy test schedule a little bit, Chase. Let's get into it.
Yes.
We are going to have on Wednesday that kind of separation of veterans and rookie orientation. You know, that's kind of always how it works for this initial test. I'm going to go to Nathan Brown's tweets about the schedule for this week just to make sure. But obviously we hope that, you know, we don't have to change it up too much, but I'm excited to get into this. There are 34 drivers as well. 34 drivers. So people are thinking that 35 is going to be the number for those trying to qualify. Now, there are a couple TBAs. I don't know if we see David Malukas at this test. I think by the time you're listening to this, we will know. But right now, we do not know. I could see Tony Kanaan getting in that car.
Hello.
There's been chat of Theo Pourchaire potentially being in that, the last year's F2 champion. He's been at the Chevy simulator, which obviously means McLaren. You don't have to be dumb to figure that out. So I would say they're having an option ready for David Malukas in case he cannot race in Long Beach. But 34 drivers are on the list. Two are TBAs. A lot of people are thinking Catherine Legg is going to be in the coin car. That's what Nathan Brown has tweeted. We'll obviously see by the time this is happening, you'll know. I assume it's going to happen sooner rather than later. But that's kind of what we're thinking. So the ROP guys are going to be Kiffin Simpson, Nolan Siegel, Christian Rasmussen. The refresher, now, hey, fun fact, Ryan Hunter Ray and I, not in the refresher, which is very exciting. I thought we would have had to do that, but because Ryan and I did essentially the majority of the season last year, we do not count as refreshers. We did other oval races. We were part of other oval races. So thankfully, that is not the case. So the refresher is Marco Andretti. It would be Catherine Legg if she's there, and Pietro Fittipaldi. And so the schedule for April 10, which is obviously when the show comes out, I believe, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. veteran drivers. 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. is ROP and veteran refreshers. And then 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. is all drivers. And then April 11th is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So sometimes if you see in the month of May, normally we run like noon to 6. This day on April 11th is 10 to 4. Now, again, we'll see if the rain cooperates, but pretty excited. Fans can apparently sit in the Southeast Vista grandstands. Very cool. So if you want to come check it out, heck yeah, let's go. But yeah, I couldn't be more excited. So that's kind of what we're doing. That's what the schedule looks like. Chase, what are you looking forward to most about this week? Because you're going to be an onlooker. You're a big IndyCar guy now. You got to stay locked in. You want to fine tune who you're going to support. Other than me, potentially, hopefully, and yeah, this is a great way to start out by, you know, checking things out.
Well, the polka dot pink lemonade, Chevy Dallara definitely helps the case for the support. I will say that very sexy car. I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to be watching. I know that that I'm always keeping up now. I've got pretty much everybody on X that I'm following, so I'm getting a lot of notifications. And that's how I'm keeping up. Like, I'm a notifications guy. If I don't turn notifications on to the things that I need to be looking at, then I'm probably not going to see. So I'm keeping up. I'm really just excited to see who brings the speed, man. I mean, I feel like that's everybody, right? It's like, who's going to show up and be quick? And I know there's a lot of time to get the tweaks right, but whoever does show up and does have that speed, first off, like, that's kind of like your first guy you want to look at, right? It's like, okay, they're already doing something right this early on. Like, the only thing that can happen is you can go downhill. And we have seen that plenty of times, too.
That'll definitely happen. You're going to see names all over the board from these test days all the way into the practice week.
Yeah, I'm just really ready to get the numbers in. I want to crunch the data. I want to go hit some blockchains. I want to run it, dude. I've become way more of like a numbers guy. In my time as a motorsports fan and someone covering motorsports, like I love all of this new tech that we have to where we can put all this in and make these predictions, right? So that's really one thing I'm going to be looking at doing, is just trying to take all the data that I can, seeing what sticks out, what doesn't, and then also just, you know, cutting up online and celebrating it, making sure everybody knows, hey, this is on. Go watch this.
Yes.
So I've got
you
some stuff up my
it.
Sleeve for that too. So we're ready.
Good. I love it. Yeah. It's, It's going to be an awesome week. I do hope that, you know, you're maybe on the way to the track or you're on your way to work and you're like, hey, I can't wait to see what the results are of the test today. And we're excited about it. The Dry Rheinbold team with Cusick Motorsports, we've done a lot. Last week was big seat fit week. Got in, checking everything out. The car's come together really, really well. The car looks great. A lot of photos with it. This is a big week as well with the Eclipse. I mean, it's a huge week for IMS, honestly. Like, if you think there's like 50,000 people going to this Eclipse thing tomorrow, which again, you will have gone to this. This is a we're talking about the future in the past, but you are going to be listening to the past. You know, this is like a weird little try to envision what's going to happen in the future, but we can't tell that. But I'm just letting you know, a lot of people at the Eclipse thing. You got to clear out all of what's going on, and then boom, we announce our deal on Tuesday, which again you will have seen, and that's kind of been a tough thing to organize because you had all this stuff set up for the Eclipse. So busy week for IMS. All the staff out there, we appreciate them for doing a ton of work.
Are you going to look at it? By the way, I just want to know. I feel like the world needs to know. Are you going to look at the sky?
My girlfriend said, do not look at the sky because it'll hurt your eyes.
Correct.
Unless you have those glasses on, right?
Yes.
And she said that you can't take a picture of it because it'll damage your phone camera, apparently. So you can't take a picture of it with your phone.
Sounds like it's got a lot of rules, dude. I mean, there's a lot of rules for this guy.
But, dude, it's so funny to see people react to all these, like, things about the Eclipse. Like, there's people like, make sure you got your blankets and your food in case, like, you can't get anywhere. It's like, are you guys serious?
That's alarming because, like, that's never been
worse.
We're all
smarter than that. Like, you're not going to need to have, like, 4 weeks worth of toilet paper because of some thing that's happening in the sky.
This happened, last year, dude.
It's really cool, but, like, so is the sky in general. Like, look, the moon is sweet. You know what I mean? Like, I see the moon every night almost.
Love,
like,
the moon, dude.
That's cool. So, like, there's some other cool stuff that we won't see in a long time, but I don't understand the trying to stock up for the apocalypse because there's a moon activity in the sun happening. I just don't get it.
Gotta stimulate the market, baby.
Maybe the bounty stock was running low and you needed a ton of paper towels. I don't know.
Yeah, who is running Big Eclipse? That's what we need to know.
Yeah, Big Eclipse. I mean, we need to get to the bottom of it, honestly. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But I'm glad IMS is making money off of it. That's for sure. I'm glad we can get people there. I saw some wild stat that like 75% of the people, if not more, that are going to the track for the Eclipse have not been there before, which is an amazing opportunity for us. I actually saw as well, you will have already seen this, but I had seen that apparently Ed Carpenter is doing like demo laps in an IndyCar. Seems a little unfair. You're doing some testing already pre the test. But again, despite how I feel about that human being, cool that we can do that for these potentially new folks that have not seen motorsport before. I know I am apparently an IndyCar driver driving a NASCAR, which is kind of wild. I don't know if that's going to happen yet. I'm going to say that in hopes that that will happen, but I'll be apparently giving like two-seater rides to media in this next NASCAR Xfinity car around the oval. It's going to be set up for a road course. So anyway,
just hold one for me.
It is what it is.
That's all I ask. Just tell.
Tell
Papa Raj.
You're a media member.
Yeah, I know. Just tell him to hold up. Like, just hold on. Chase is on the way. You know.
So yeah, so we've got a lot going on. An F1 race happened last night as well, which was not very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk about with that real quick, which I find I'd like to give credit to our safety team, and I still don't understand it. Colton and I talked a little bit about this before we did his interview, but start of the race, Daniel Ricciardo, a friend of mine, sad to see that he wrecked with Alex Albon. Alex Albon, I like as well. Bit of a blind spot type crash. First lap, first corner, boom, red flag. I don't understand that, like they have to go red and they go red flag and they've got two cars in the tire barrier, which again, this happens in IndyCar, you know, pretty much all the time. We just go yellow, a couple laps, you know, pit stop, boom, and then we go racing again. But in F1, everyone comes in the pits, all the drivers get out of the cars, they put on like cold vests, they go eat. Like, it's a very strange, like, not efficient system. And I just want to thank our safety team, because our safety team would have had that accident cleaned up in 10 minutes. Like, it's I don't really understand. I guess because they don't plan for these accidents to be like resolved quickly, because it's like, oh, it's a big deal if like two people crash together in F1. Because I mean, it is, because there's not a ton of crashes in F1. Honestly, they're usually just follow the leader around there. But I find that to be wildly inefficient, because now my DVR can't record the entire race. You know what I mean? It's at 2 a.m. I got this 20-minute red flag period where all the drivers are going to eat steaks and snacks, which, again, I like F1. I respect it.
That's some bougie stuff, like to say, dude. Hey, I mean, let's be real.
I know, but I was like, hey, can we not fix that? Like, let's just go racing. Let's do a couple laps, full course caution. You don't have to change a bug. People can't come in and change their tires. Like, I just don't understand it, but I'm an F1 fan. I'm an F1 fan. I like F1. I don't like that. That's what I'm going to say.
Sounds like they should just do iRacing. That's what it sounds like.
Well, Max Verstappen won again. No surprise.
iRacing.
Red Bull won too. No surprise. So anyway, congratulations to them. That's F1 talk for this week. That's F1
talk.
That
was Formula
1.
That was him.
That was Formula 1. The NASCAR Cup race has not happened yet, so maybe Denny Hamlin will win again. Who knows?
Excited.
The Xfinity race was kind of wild. Congrats, Eric Almirola. I watched the truck race, considering I will be in a truck at some point. Interesting event. Not gonna lie, it was. The fellow who won it, what's his name again? Christian Eckes. Dominated. That guy dominant. So there's your NASCAR talk for the weekend.
He had a mustache last year. It helped.
Absolutely. So I wanted to move into a new segment that I thought would be just literally fun. And I don't have a name for this segment yet, but we talk a lot about motorsport, particularly IndyCar. This is an IndyCar program. We have a great test coming up this week. Very, very excited about it. There's TV deal negotiations that are going on, which are super important. We got F2 champions being rumored to be, you know, potentially in reserve. We've got Penske talking about the final versions of the charter proposals ahead of the Indy 500. We've got so many things like that. I just listed 10 news segments and that's all happening. Also quick shout out to Robert Wickens. He had a big crash at the Nürburgring. Good friend of ours, good friend of the IndyCar world. Robert Wickens is okay. Apparently, he had to spend the night in the hospital, but he put out a tweet. It literally happened as I was sitting at breakfast with Colton, and he was showing me pictures, and I was like, oh man, like, hope he's all right. But thankfully, he's good. But yeah, hate to see Wickens in a crash, but hey, glad he's fine. So anyway, back to all these news points that were coming out. So lots of news. All those things are happening. But I want to have 4 minutes of fun for the four-time Indy 500 champions. Four-time Indy 500 champions. I wanted to start a clock and we could talk about whatever we want. This is 4 minutes of fun, because you know who had fun? Four-time Indy 500 champions.
You're right.
Elio had more fun than anyone, I think, in his life. You think AJ Foyt didn't have a ton of great fun in his life? You think Rick Mears doesn't have a great time in his life? He has enjoyed more fun than most people, I think, that have ever existed. So I'm going to set a stopwatch too. We're going to literally time this and we're just going to talk about whatever is going on. And I'm gonna have some things that I'm gonna start with, and then Chase and I can interact in this 4 minutes, and then Chase is gonna get 4 minutes. So you're gonna get 8 minutes of fun. So this is 4 minutes of fun for the four time, 4-4-4-40-4-40-4. I don't know if anyone remembers that commercial, but that was stuck in my head when I was a kid growing
Bag
up. So
boys.
Here we go. I'm gonna start. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this, but I'm gonna start the 4 minute clock. Right now, 4 minutes are going. The 4 minute stopwatch is going. Chase, have you seen Pato's house?
I have not seen Pato's house. Can you give
this
me
this? Is the one thing that I wanted to first talk about, and this does have to do with IndyCar, but Pato's house is sick. I don't know where he's doing all this Instagram stuff from, but I think Pato is our version of Vinny Chase from Entourage. I think Pato's our guy. Like, he's got always people around him. They got a chef, like, making food for him at this beautiful beach place in Mexico somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's got the coolest view. He's in a pool. He's got a great – he's, and now, again, he does throw in gym photos, so we know that he's working, and we know he's working. But Pato might be living the coolest life of anyone in IndyCar. He's a young athletic man who apparently in the streets, you know what I mean? He's a single man. I don't know that. That's unconfirmed. But I think he's the Vinny Chase of IndyCar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watch Entourage. It's my favorite show of all time. But I think Pato's the Vinny Chase of Entourage, or the Vinny Chase of IndyCar racing.
I'll say this much about it, okay? So I do follow Pato on social media. I did notice this past week, you know, he had a photo. He's kind of got a stern look on his eye. You know, he had a little nipplage in the photo. You know, and I had to quote tweet it. I'm
thirst
just like,
trap, as they say, a thirst
yeah,
trap.
Yeah, he was posting thirsty trap photos. It's like, hey, is he trying to take on Joseph Newgarden for a GQ cover? Like, these are the questions that I have.
But he's like way less innocent than Joseph. Like, Joseph was like, you know, nice guy, wife and kid. Pato is out on the streets. You know, Pato could be, you know, and that respectfully, you know what I mean?
The Bachelor.
But he's made some comments on some interesting posts on the internet sometimes that people may or may not have seen. We won't bring him up. But, you know, I think he is everything that IndyCar needs, and we need 10 more of them. I want David Moulakas to be doing that too. Yeah. I want Marcus Armstrong to be doing that too. Even though he's got a wonderful girlfriend, I want him and his lady to be on a beach property doing something cool. Like, just, I think that there are, like, now Kiffin Simpson, also a very wealthy guy. Him and Scott were down in the Cayman Islands doing cool stuff together. But Pato has the right vibes. You know, he's got the vibes to him. He's got the cool guy vibes. He's successful. And he's got that dog in him, I think. So Pato's dog of the
definitely,
week.
Definitely kind of has that dog in him. I would just say, like, I think to really, like, solidify, like, where he's at right now, like, if he could just get, like, a pet iguana. Like, he needs a pet iguana, like, put it on the shoulder, get some frilly cuffs, dude, and just, like,
yeah,
kind of post up, you know, like, on his house.
Yeah, that was one thing that I wanted to say. I thought Pato's house is sick. It looks cool. I will probably never be invited there, but it looks sweet.
We should.
And then for my other 4 minutes of fun segment, I have 45 seconds left, and I completely forgot. But
let's do it in 30.
Hey, shout out women's sports. Shout out women's sports for having more people watch than anything in the world. And we made the tweet, by the way. When Joe Pompliano, guest of this show, put out a tweet saying that the Iowa and UConn game had more viewers than, like, every single event, guess what made it? The Indy 500. Boom, that's publicity. It doesn't matter that 14 million people watched a women's college basketball game and only 5 or 6 watched the Indy 500. We made the tweet.
Shout out.
That means we're a big event. So, boom, that was a good thing for us. But I'm also going to come up with more subjects for the fun segment. But I just really enjoyed this. I wanted to talk about Pato's house, and I wanted to just have a nice little time. I got 10 seconds left.
Here we go. We're going to count it down.
Chase, that's my 4 minutes of fun for Rick Mears. I'm honoring Rick Mears this week. Go. You're on.
All right.
You're on.
So my 4 minutes of fun. We're going to honor Al Unser Jr. Here we go.
No, Al Unser Senior.
Al Unser Senior.
Senior.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Well,
not junior. He did not win 4 times.
Okay, not a 4 time. All right. You're right. I just think about 92. It was a great year. I was born.
it's true.
So the first thing I want to bring up actually is something that you talked about in the news, but it's kind of a little bit of a spin on it. You know, they're having some talks about NBC and Fox taking over IndyCar. You know, everybody's kind of like, oh, I really love NBC. Let's entertain a world where Fox does come into the fold. I do want to say that. Now, here are some reasons why I think this could be great. Okay, number one, animation crossovers. Fox is known for some of the hottest shows in cartoons. Family Guy, big show.
Great show.
Bob's Burgers. Could you imagine seeing someone like a Pato or yourself or possibly, you know, like a, you know, maybe we'll throw a little bit of Tony Kanaan in there, just randomly show up like it
all right. Like everyone's favorite grandpa. Yeah.
Yeah, like Peter Griffin's house. Like they're just chilling, like, you know, and you get like Colton Herta doing donuts in at the Bob's Burger stand. He's waiting on his burger. These are some things that could be potentially real. You know, a lot of Simpsons out there too. So I think that's huge.
Fair.
Game shows. Fox is known for their fair share of game shows. You could get a lot of IndyCar drivers to the game shows. I think that would be fun.
I did Family Feud once. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. 2016, big year. Big year.
It would be something big. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't really watch game shows.
Still one of the most hilarious experiences ever.
And how long ago was this?
2016, we were on a game show.
Oh, man. Okay, so it's been a minute. So, like, I don't know if they still do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but... I mean,
well, with inflation, it's now Who Wants to Be a Quarter Millionaire, I think.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't love Ricky Bobby's mom coming to IMS to, like, drive around and maybe do a show out of a Dallara? I think that would be great. So those are just a few things that I think would be great. So that's one thing. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you've heard of it, but an Illinois man broke a world record by doing 26,100 squats in 24 hours. Who is this
man?
Did
you say an Illinois man?
An Illinois man. He's close to you guys. He's close to you guys. I mean, he's up there. So, I mean, who is
it? How many squats did he do?
26,100 squats in 24 hours.
That sounds like the dumbest thing ever. I'm not going to lie. I would not want to do that.
Yeah, that's it.
I actually just saw a woman. There is a woman who has the world record for plank, holding a plank. Have you ever held a plank position,
Like a minute.
She did it for like 3 hours or something absurd, holding a plank. That's wild.
You got to have elbows.
I don't know why people want to do this. I really don't know why they want to do this, but congratulations.
Yeah, she had to cheat, dude. She had to put some of those desk things like on the bottom of the desk to go on the floor. They were there, dude, like 100%.
Maybe. Elbow support.
Another thing that I thought was very...
You have 45 seconds
45
left.
Seconds, great. 100 huskies escape from a pet cafe and roam through a Chinese mall. This is all things that have happened in this past week, okay? A Utah police officer had to dive tackle a fleeing pig, and a Virginia woman accidentally pressed the wrong button on a lottery vending machine and won a $1 million Powerball prize. So.
Classic mix-up, huh? Classic. She won a million.
It's just like, made an accident, millionaire. Welcome.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think we did it. I think that was the 4 minutes right there.
Hey, you got 4 seconds. You got 3 seconds left. Boom, there's 8 minutes of fun right there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's brought to you by absolutely nobody. That's brought to you by my dumb brain last night thinking, let's have a great time. I want to laugh more during this show. We've had a lot of weird moments over the last couple of weeks that have been very aggressively talked about. People arguing in the comment section. People arguing with me. But we're back. We're having a great time. We got a lot of things excited about.
We cutting up, dude.
So that's four four-time winners. 4 minutes for the four-time winners of the Indianapolis 500. 4-4-4, 44-44. Let's get to our fantastic interview with Colton Herta. That was really fun. But you're going to enjoy this chat with Colton. So as always, please let us know what you think. And American young man, Colton Herta. Well, folks of the Speed Street, welcome back to a fantastic guest segment. We have a very talented young American man. This man is very, well, talented. He has some very skilled hands. He does great work with his mind. He is, you know, arguably should be in Formula One. Let's not argue about that. Colton Herta. Driver of the Gamebridge Honda machine for the Andretti Global Racing Team. Colton, thank you for being here, my friend. And thank you for agreeing to this just yesterday at breakfast.
No worries. I was excited to get the invite.
Yes, you're back. You have been on this show before, and we appreciate that. But you know what? It's a new time of year. It's a new time to talk. Lots of new things to discuss. There's a lot that people talked about with you from Thermal. But let's get a quick season. We've only had 1.5 races because the second one didn't count. But how are we feeling? You guys have done like several tests as well. Team wise, 3 cars, feeling good about the 3-car operation so far?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of a difference this year with moving down to 3 cars, a little bit more of a concentrated effort, which I only see positives from. But from personal side, I think I've been driving really well. Haven't finished outside the top 5 yet in IMSA or in IndyCar this year. So
no big deal.
Podiums,
solid.
A win at Sebring.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple top 5s in IndyCar. But yeah, you just got to keep the ball rolling.
I love that. No, that's, I mean, honestly, the funny thing is, yeah, the sports car scene, you've been absolutely slapping so far this year. So that's nice. That's always a nice little addition. Let's get right into Thermal really quick because I loved your strategy. And we've been talking about this race for far too long. It's time to move on to something else, but that's because there hasn't been another race to talk about. But because you're here and a lot of people, so many folks have decided to voice their opinions, I loved your strategy. I did. I was hoping that was going to happen. As soon as it happened, I was like, yes, that's our guy. I can't wait to see what was going on. Had you guys talked about it? Would you, like, obviously, when you're a racing driver, Your job with your team is to think about every possible strategy to win the race. This is one of them in the unique situation that it was. So what was that like to kind of hold yourself back a little bit to just know that, hey, we're saving our bullets for later in the race?
Yeah, so it didn't come up until after qualifying, because obviously we had speed. I made a mess of qualifying, qualified, I think, like 24th or 25th. So we had to start thinking outside of the box. We had to get through and into the top six for our first heat race, which we did. We finished sixth and got through the final, starting last place. We thought, you know, if on pure merit and pace, we might be able to get into the top six if we have a really good race, make some really good moves. Or we can try something that's kind of a go big or go home option. And I was thinking about it the morning of the race, and then my engineer Nathan said, I think we should do this if we make it to the final and we're last. And
I like that.
You know, it was interesting. I thought it was harder to drive an IndyCar that slow than it was to drive at that fast. It's so hard when you have all that horsepower, all that traction, the downforce, and you don't use any of it. You know, 15 seconds off a lap is incredibly slow. I don't think people realize like how slow you have to go or how slow it feels you're going. It feels like you're driving around at 40 miles an hour.
Yep.
So, no, it worked out. Some guys caught on to it, and some of the other guys tried to do it, but obviously we had a few laps before they started to do it, so our tires were in a little bit better shape for the final, and that, with how good the car was and the pace that we had already, just kind of made it so we could march through the field.
And I'll get one more in before I let Chase hop in, because I know Chase has some great questions for you as well. But did you, the racing through the middle of the pack, I actually thought it was great. Would you say you were sending it a little bit more than, like, let's say maybe a points race? Because I think there are some moves that you can tell as a watcher of motorsport for many years and sometimes participator. There's moves that you make that you truly, it is a, if this doesn't work, we're both crashing. And you would make that if you're trying to go for a championship at the end of the year, or there is a bigger prize in the line, et cetera. Indy 500, for example, like Pato O'Ward just fired it in there and crashing into the wall with Ericsson, you know, like something like that. It kind of had that vibe too. Did you feel like, hey, I'm just going to chuck this thing in there when you're going for these moves? Did it have a bit of that vibe, do you think, with the way you were racing with some of those guys and with when you saw like Joseph and Alex kind of hitting each other a little bit too?
Yes. I did not care at all
what was happening to everybody else.
Yeah. where, you know, most of the time when you're in the car, you don't care what happens to anybody else anyways, but sometimes I can have an effect to yourself in your race.
And so, it's a championship, and you're probably going to be one of the guys in the championship fight, so you got to think about that.
Right, and there was none of that. So, I think every move was like that, except Armstrong. I didn't really have to extend too much.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other moves were very 50-50, low percentage moves.
I like that. But see, that made it, for me, entertaining to watch. Now, go ahead, Chase. Jump on in here.
Yeah, no. Colton, hello. Good to get to see you. Good to talk to you here. I like Connor knows, you know, we've talked all about thermal, about racing. And this year, I'm putting 100% focus on IndyCar, big NASCAR guy. So I'm learning all the ins and outs. I will say that you were one of the first guys that I picked up on when I first, like, dabbled into the IndyCar scene. You had a car that kind of low-key reminded me of Batman. You had a Batmobile style to it.
Like
a little bit of blue. You know, how, like, it, I mean, I definitely will ask you off the record how you might could compare yourself to Bruce Wayne, but we'll leave that one for not the show. What I do want to talk to you about is you made some stellar moves in that last race. I think one of those moves that you made coming around, I had compared it to a kart move that I made at me and my kid race go-karts the week before, and it was pretty deep in there like that. But for you, talking about going so slow, like, it feels like you're going slow, like, for I guess, like, how would you compare that for like a civilian driving the car? Like, how fast are they going? Because if you think that is like 40 miles an hour, I feel like I've just been put to shame when I'm like, you know, going 80 on the freeway.
The thing about racing cars that fast is your perception of speed is extremely skewed. So when we're under caution and we're going 100 miles an hour, it feels like we're going 20 to 25 miles an hour. It feels extremely slow just because you're used to going 160 or 180 down that straight. So your perception is massively skewed. So when you have to go that slow, it feels like you're crawling. Like you can't really go any slower, which of course you could. But yeah, when you sit into that car and you know what it's capable of and you know that feeling of what it's like to go 240 miles an hour in that thing, all of a sudden when you're going 100, it feels a lot different.
How do you feel headed to the grocery store on the weekend in your own car?
He's out there ripping.
It's 120 miles an hour running grandmas off the road.
Yep. Ain't no time for the grannies.
Gotta get that milk home,
man.
Time
for them.
Yes.
All right. Well, thermal's done. We're getting rid of it. We have Indy in front of us, right? I think everyone's excited. We were just talking offline a little bit about that. Very, very exciting week. Obviously, we hope the weather cooperates with us. We're recording this on a Sunday. Normally, we record the show on a Tuesday. It comes out on Wednesday. But the next couple of days are very busy for us all. We got the solar eclipse happening. The world's ending, according to idiots on TikTok. We got all kinds of stuff. It better not happen like that because I got some testing to do on Wednesday, Thursday. How do you guys feel about your oval package? Like, are we excited about it? Do you see, are we kind of getting that early sense of whose engine's going to have the most power? Like, do you guys kind of already speculate about that? Or what are we feeling? Is Andretti going to be on the front row, all three cars?
I mean, it's hard to tell with everybody else. I think we kind of understand where all of our cars stack up against each other or where they should stack up against each other from the wind tunnel numbers. But until you get on that track, you have no clue. So, and you know, even in testing, it can be skewed a little differently to what guys can do in qualifying or what guys can do in the race. So it's always kind of a guessing game. But it's great to finally get back onto the speedway. You know, we've done some road course testing. Not fun compared to getting to drive around the oval there with the IndyCar.
Yeah, so what do we think about Kyle Larson? I want to get your thoughts on it. Like, do you think he's going to be a dog in the fight? Like, what's obviously we know he's an extremely talented driver. I think he's I've been saying for a long time he's probably going to be living inside the top 10, if not the top 5. But what do you think? Like, I think it's very cool to get a chance to race with him. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to get to see some of these guys that are, you know, greatly respected in other ends of our sport to come over and race against them. But as far as how he's going to do, it's going to be a lot of learning from him. Yeah. You know, but he is an extremely talented racing driver, so I don't think the speed will be a problem. But just the way you run around races, how, you know, we've done it so many times, so we kind of understand what to expect and what we want done to our car into the later stints, or how to save fuel maybe a little bit better than he might know. So it's going to be a lot of learning from him. But it's a guy that seems to pick up everything extremely fast and be fast in whatever he drives in. So I don't really doubt that he won't be quick, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Chase, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about that one as well. You know, been kind of following his journey since he made the announcement last year. And him coming over, he's also a really big golf guy too. So I don't know how you're.
So is Colton. Colton swings the club like a champion.
Really?
I don't know about that, but I swing the club.
Are you calling Kyle Larson out to a round of 9 holes, Kurt Colton?
I don't know. If it's like to get the highest score, then yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Dude, we're going to arrange it.
Golf is just a numbers game.
No, Kyle Larson, big golf guy. I mean, this guy lives, eats, breathes golf. So now.
I did not know that.
Yes. So now, not only will he be competing, you know, in the race, but I think now it's fair to say, now that I know Colton's a big golf guy, I think we've got to put them both head to head. I think we've got to get them on the greens.
I think there's a golf tournament potentially happening on April 29th. I heard that we might do something. That's Rick Mears Day, according to Deepu, our friend Deepu. That's Rick Mears Day, and we might do some golf honoring Rick Mears that day. I don't know, Cole. We should maybe play.
Are you
on
down?
I don't know.
I'm game. If I'm around, I'm
he's
game.
Committed.
I don't love
he's
it.
He's committed. All right. This is going to be fun.
So let's look at the rest of the season coming up, because obviously I'm all focused on Indy because that's all I'm doing. But like, you guys still have several races before we get there. So Long Beach, you're obviously a dog out there. Like, we know that, you know, you're very skilled on the streets and things of that nature. Is this our chance to get back in victory lane again? Is this, would you say, over Barber. Now, again, you guys are probably really good at Barber too, but I would say Long Beach is your bread and butter. You think this is probably the next chance to be like, hey, back in victory lane, time to start our championship fight?
Definitely. Yeah. We've had quick cars at both places. I think Grosjean finished second or third last year at Barber. Kyle won Long Beach. I've won Long Beach in the past. We always seem to have great cars on street courses, and Long Beach is no different. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. Good kind of momentum builder into May also as we get the season going. And, yeah, hopefully can wrap it up and get a win there. It's good to get it out of the way early. Builds the momentum. Gets you in a happy place also. So that's the goal, obviously.
Yeah. So I want to get a little bit off topic now. I like that that was happening. But with all this talk of you and Formula One as well, I have to dive into it a little bit. That's kind of seemed to have, it was big on the radar. It was the only radar. The radar was shooting these radar beams directly at the sun, like in Three Body Problem, and then coming right back down at everyone on this planet. That's all everyone was talking about. Have you even thought about that since it's kind of died down a little bit? Or is this still on the back burner at all? Because I think, and a lot of people think, that you deserve to be in Formula One. I know that you have a lot that you want to accomplish here in IndyCar as well. But has that thought kind of just been like, all right, we're going to put that at the back of the mind. We got a job in front of us. Or is it still like, hey, I would like to get a fair shot at the Formula One World Championship?
I would love to try it still. Yeah. You know, I think you ask any race car driver, they would say that they want to try it, or they're lying to your face, basically.
<Much. True.
laughs> it's interesting, but it's just like anything. Like, I want to do a lot of different things. I'd love to run Daytona 500. I would love to run Le Mans. I would love to run in Formula One. But then there's a time constraints on when I can do these things, right? I'm not going to be 28 years old and go to Formula One. It doesn't happen.
It's true.
Unfortunately. So, you know, I'm getting up there. Just turned 24, which is crazy, which
You're
is
so
kind
old.
Of dumb to say.
An old man of 24 years old.
Exactly.
Like, almost a quarter of a century.
Yes. No, but I would still love to do it. But, you know, if it never happens, I'm never going to be disappointed that I never got to do it, because I'll always be able to get drives an Indy car and be able to race over here. So, you know, I'm very fortunate for the position that I've able to be in, been able to test some Formula One cars, be a little bit behind the scenes with some of the teams. It's cool to see how they operate. But yeah, definitely just kind of focused on what we're doing here at the moment. There's nothing in the near future that I can see going towards that F1 stuff.
Quick, before I let Chase jump in here, roughly how many days have you done in a somewhat modern Formula One car?
I've only done two.
Okay, 2 days. And they're like, well, that's mm-hmm. cool, though. That's not a bad,
yep.
not a bad gig. Not a bad game. Chase,
no,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's commendable that you are going to stick to the real open wheel thrills in our society. I think that's the way it should be. I mean, it's American motorsport. IndyCar is just badass, like plain and simple. So somebody's got to champion that. And I mean, you definitely, you know, have put your name in the bucket, and you got a long way to go in your career too. So that's also going to be huge. Getting away from racing, though, just kind of getting to learn about Colton, like you as a person outside of racing, your hobbies and what you do. I know there may be a lot of people around Speedway and around, you know, the state of Indiana that do know these things. But for the people that listen that don't, you're big into music. You play music. If I'm not mistaken, you've played in a band. When did that start for you? What instruments are you playing? Like what were your influences, and how's that going now?
Yeah, so I started playing drums about probably right around when I was 12 years old, and really got into it, did a few lessons then, and then I started racing in Europe, so kind of went away from me for a little bit, and then eventually picked it back up when I came back to the U.S. and was playing with my buddies in the band and having a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, the band stuff is great. I mean, you have now Willpower claims to be a drummer, or could you out-drum him?
I'm not sure. I've seen him play once. He played at Thermal for like a song, which was hilarious. No, he seems like a good drummer. So I'm not too sure about what his skill level is.
So let's talk a little bit about more your own personal life. I would say, Colton, you would have, and I know Chase wants to know this too, you've got a very distinct style outside of wearing a racing polo, right? Maybe a Goodwill guy, maybe a thrift shop guy. It might have been a little long time ago, but we saw you in a Speedway Well, Chase met you in a Speedway basketball jersey that you might have got at Goodwill. Now, you probably don't often shop there, but can you tell us about, like, hey, I'm willing to be me. I like to just wear cool shirts, random stuff. Is that the California in you? Are you a little bit of a hippie?
Maybe. I don't know exactly why I was there. You know what?
I think it was for Napu's birthday.
Yeah, but I think we had to get... I think my buddy John was at that race.
Yes.
And he had to get something.
He had to get a nice shirt or something.
Yes. Yeah. It was like a button up. And he's like, I'm not paying more than like $3. And so he went to the Speedway Goodwill. And while I was there, I found a Speedway basketball jersey, a little penny from like a recreational league or high school or whatever in elementary. Number 33 on
absolutely.
The back.
Absolutely.
Because we're in Indiana.
Yep.
And yeah, that was
a hilarious
nice little
night.
Pickup for me.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. I want to talk a little bit about social media side, right? We've got a ton going on. IndyCar's pumping out content. You're probably not the biggest social media guy, but are you a lurker? Do you like to peruse the internet chats? Do you like to get in the comments section? Because obviously, Joseph Newgarden doesn't like social media. We know that. He doesn't like anyone anymore on there. But again, we're all friends. But tell us about your social media prowess. Are you out there just kind of hunting around and seeing what's going on?
I lurk in the shadows for sure. If something is posted, I see it. I'm addicted to it. I love it. But
we don't want to see your TikTok For You page. Is that right?
No,
we're probably getting out of there. Let's just stay in the safe zone. Yeah.
Yes. Keep it on Twitter.
Yeah.
On X.
Yeah.
And on Instagram. Keep it racing related.
Absolutely. I respect that. Now, with that being said, though, IndyCar has done a lot of great work, I would say. There's a lot of excitement going forward. I think they're involving us a lot, right? We've got 100 mm-hmm. Days to Indy, which I assume you're going to be heavily involved in season two. Season one is now on Netflix, which is everyone's excited about it, right? Are you seeing good things with the content side? Are we excited about what everyone is doing on the IndyCar side to kind of take that to the next level?
I mean, the biggest thing, I guess, now would be getting that season one on Netflix. Obviously, a massive streaming platform. Probably the biggest, the most well-known.
Oh, yeah.
And
Netflix and,
so, yeah,
and chills.
That was big for us. But yeah, I mean, obviously you want to attract younger people. Younger people are on social media, pump out content that way. You know, it just seems to be the way forward for everybody. And that's what it's been the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. So yeah.
I like it. So now this is another question that kind of adds on to that, but what do you see the future of IndyCar being like? What do you like? There's a lot of good things going on, like we mentioned, but what is there another idea that you had that is like, hey, this might be a good thing for us in the future? Because I think there's a lot of great things, but I think everyone kind of has an idea on like, hey, maybe this is the next step, or maybe this is another good idea.
So the one thing that the idea that I really enjoyed was, you know, coming from a background of a lot of video games and watching Twitch streams and stuff like that. I wondered if we could use some of the driver POV cameras and the little visor cams to kind of be put into a Twitch stream. Now this probably wouldn't work for racing. I don't think NBC would allow it, to be broadcasted other than on NBC, but you know, testing practice, it would be an interesting kind of idea to be able to watch your favorite driver and only them and see what they're doing inside the cockpit, you know, basically the whole time.
Yeah.
And a lot of these test days, right, like nobody sees, nobody hears about, other than the results that are written by Racer or motorsports.com and whatnot. So, it would be, I think it would be awesome and people would really enjoy it.
Yeah, because we have, like, you can see the onboard cameras, but I do agree that we are missing out on a little bit of that visor. Like, get down a little bit. Come into the zone, right? Come into the cockpit, see what we're doing with our hands. Because again, with the hybrid era too that's coming, you guys are going to be a lot busier in the car as well. Yeah. Apparently, according to the research that we've done here on the Speed Street Pod News Center, there's a lot more going on with the driver. So that would be, I think, even cooler for our fans to be able to see. Well, don't you think?
For sure. And obviously with the introduction of the hybrid, there's a lot more, like you said, going on inside the cockpit, a lot more stuff for us to change inside the cockpit, regenning and deploying also. So it's a lot more for us to do, which would be interesting for the fans to see that side of it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. So before we wrap it up, we appreciate your time. I know there was a lot that we got to and a lot that we needed to get to again. We did run into some technical difficulties at some point, but we are working our way through it. So I want to know currently, because you're a dog on the computer games, right? Hey, we're locked in Xbox computer games. This guy is an elite athlete, not only on the track, but the virtual world. Let's list a top three video games right now. Where can people probably not know that they're playing against you, but where can they maybe see you zapping enemies on the internet? So what are our three favorite games right now?
So the one that I am really into right now is Counter-Strike, CS2.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing game. We're going to get Connor on that after this interview.
I'm on Steam. Look, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to get it downloaded tonight, and we're going to start getting W's.
There we go. League of Legends is my second favorite.
Big time
nerd probably,
stuff. Big yes, time nerd
that will,
stuff. Yeah,
my that will probably go down as my favorite game. Oh yeah, yeah. You gotta be smelly to play that one. It's a game that takes a lot of concentration and a lot of hours to get good at. So, and I put the time in.
I respect.
And
that.
Then three for me is probably Apex, just because
Apex
you're,
Legends, baby.
You love it. I was a
we
big fan of it when I
there.
Started playing.
Yeah, we got to get you back on. Yep.
And that's the top three. Big video game enjoyer, though.
I know. See, I don't think people realize like how much like when the COVID attacked the world, boy, the boys really got into it on the video games. Like we were out there understanding each other at a whole new level because we were diving into strategies. We were trying to get wins across the Call of Duty scheme, but essentially everywhere else. But sometimes you might not see it because we're not just streaming everything anymore. But some of us, we still like to get in the hot zone. We still like to drop pod. We still like to get in these games. That's how we kill our time, right? Some people play iRacing. Maybe not as much for us. Nope. We're deep in the, you know, you get a plenty of simulator time at the Honda Land. Like that's where you get your iRacing in, essentially.
Yes.
But for us, it's more like, hey, we're going to, you know, try to get some W's and be dominant athletes, VSM style, you know, Dr. Disrespect, violence, speed, momentum. That's how we live in the video game sphere. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you stream, they only see a fraction of
only
the effort that you're putting in, right?
That's we got to put in the hours away. Yeah, we got to get in the hours away from the stream time.
Yes.
We got to dedicate ourselves to putting
you
in
gotta
the...
You got to perfect the craft.
Exactly. Perfect the craft. It's a respectful way to do it. Cole and Herta, we really appreciate you. I'm trying to think if I had anything else to get to, but Chase couldn't be here for the second half of this interview. And look, there's some technical difficulties. We're dealing with software things. We appreciate you coming back to do this. I'm trying to look at my notes. I don't think I've got anything else. Do you have anything else to say to human beings that are... Oh, wait, no. I know what I mentioned to you. Caitlin Clark, your big GameBridge teammate.
Yes.
Was that cool to see her compete? Now it's over, sadly.
Yes.
Got the loss. But
yeah.
There... Exciting. Her name was on your car. Pretty cool for GameBridge and you to be like, now you're all best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, she has a bit of a branding deal with GameBridge, and everybody knows what GameBridge does for me. But it was cool to watch. I mean, tough game.
Tough game.
But I mean, what an incredible season from her. And I'm excited to see what she can do going forward. Obviously, she's going to be in the WNBA. Where is she going to go? I'm not sure.
Indy,
but
come on.
Incredible.
We got to get season tickets. We got
to
get those GameBridge seats, bro. We got to get those GameBridge seats.
But no, it was awesome. Got that. And then tomorrow night, got Purdue.
Yep.
Another big one. So,
that's a big one.
Yeah. Big few days for us in GameBridge and then Indiana Land.
A lot of sports. Indiana Land, it's going to be a big one. We got testing this week. Colton, we appreciate you coming back on to let us know everything. And we will see you very soon on the racing track. But as always, we appreciate you. And don't worry, he'll be lurking. He'll be seeing what's going on out there on the web. Colton, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Whew. Well, how about this show? I think this has been a great show. I've enjoyed this a lot. There's a lot of excitement happening. This week is a great week for IndyCar. Colton Herta, solid dude overall. One of my favorite people that I enjoy communicating with, that I enjoy having meals with. He texts me over the weekend. I was asleep. I woke up, and he's like, do you want to do brunch? And I said, you know what? Sure, we will do brunch. So boom, let's just hash it out, get some breakfast, have some egg sandwiches, and talk about life. And that's when he agreed to be on the Speed Street podcast. So we appreciate him.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Great guy, Chase. We like this guy.
I'm very excited. Look, I knew from the moment I met Colton, you know, about a year or two ago, I was like, I'm gonna like this guy, right? At the nightclub, wearing the Speedway high school basketball jersey.
The first night Chase met Colton, Colton jumped out of a giant birthday cake, like one of those fake cakes, I think it was made of wood, and he just came out of the top of it for our buddy Deepu. So Colton, not afraid to have a great time, not afraid to jump out of birthday cakes for people.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind if you're trying to book him for events.
Yeah.
He is an absolute dog when it comes to doing cool stuff for our friends.
I'm also excited about the Colton Kyle golf showdown that I'm going to have to organize now. Yeah. That's real. That's happening.
That does sound like fun. I can't wait to play golf outside. I'm so excited. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. I'm going to have to be up there for about a week. It's coming.
Well, we are going to get you up here for this that whole time. We got to figure that out. We got to get you up here for all the activities for the week of action. It's going to be good. Maybe you can do like a live race cards from the track, something like that.
Oh, dude.
We'll see.
I got a notebook.
Open some IndyCar cards.
I'm getting some. Hopefully we can get some. The Parkside stuff has been crazy. So,
yeah, it's good. All right. Well, let's move into another fantastic segment. If you're watching on YouTube, I hope you like the intro segment that we've done now for this. But if you're listening on the podcast platforms, we appreciate you as well. The Ricky Treadway Random Indy 500 Driver of the Week.
Greatest event of its kind has ever been run on.
Let's meet the drivers. We'll make up the field.
All right. This week.
This week
we went to the year of 1949, coming out of the 40s, wild time to be a human in existence. The 1949 Indianapolis 500, the winner of that race, not a familiar name for me. Now again, winners go down in history for forever. Bill Holland is immortal. Bill Holland is the winner. I went down. I was looking down the list, and there are a couple drivers on this list that we have used before as our Ricky Treadway Random Indy 500 Driver of the Week. But this week, we're going with the 19th place finisher, Hal Cole. Hal Cole was the 19th place finisher in the 1949 Indianapolis 500. Now, Harold Cole, born 1912, Tacoma, Washington. He's a Washington man. All right, Washington guy. And made it all the way to 1970s. Well, okay, only age 57, but that seemed like a lot of time from 1912. Died in Los Angeles, apparently. American race car driver, 3 Indy 500s to his name. Best finish of 6th in 3 of them. Solid. That's great. But no description at all of Hal Cole. And now Wikipedia, probably not the best for information, but I have nothing to make up about Hal Cole. All it is his results and where he was born. So we have no idea if this is legitimate or not, but Hal Cole was an Indy 500 racer 3 different times, and we respect you, Hal Cole. R.I.P. Hal Cole.
I will say there this you much. You said there wasn't a lot of information out there on Hal Cole. I just wanted to immediately just throw it up to Chow from The Hangover. Just Hal so cold. I think so. But if you don't
Chow's
mind,
so cold, yeah.
if it's not too much, I think that since there was nothing out there really about Hal Cole, maybe we could let the AI take a crack at it. You know,
I hate what the AI has to say, but you know what? We could try.
Yeah,
we could try. There's no information on Hal Cole. We don't know anything about him.
All right.
If someone knows about Hal Cole, let us know.
Yes, we need to know, because like that's the thing, right? It's just really tough to keep up with a lot of these older guys. Like, there wasn't enough ledgers going around. There wasn't enough
ledgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Censuses, censi, or whatever.
The lady at the courthouse.
Biographies. Yeah.
The types. So here we go. Hal Cole, the allegedly, by the way, I'm going to throw that out there for allegedly. You. This is allegedly. Yep.
This is not real.
Right. Completely not real.
But we don't have anything on Hal.
Hal Cole, the legendary IndyCar driver from the 1940s, was famous for his antics off the track as he was for his skill set on it. Known in racing circles as Hal the Hilarious, Cole once tried to qualify for the like Indy 500 with nothing but a fake mustache for aerodynamics and a picnic basket for sustenance, claiming, if I'm going to drive in circles for hours, I might as well have snacks. His car, affectionately named the Flying Sandwich, was more often seen towing a trailer of his fan club's band than setting lap records. Cole's pit stops were legendary, often involving a quick change of costume or a magic trick before zooming off.
I like this guy now. This is the best AI to date. This is the best AI list to date.
This is G-Boy. This is one I built. Despite never winning the coveted trophy, Hal's legacy wasn't just about speed. It was about bringing laughter and a touch of whimsy to the racetrack. That was...
Hey, shout out Hal Cole. Yeah. Big magic guy.
There we go.
Magic Castle attendee. Who knows? All right. Well, that's it for this week, folks. We appreciate you. Please leave us a comment on anything that you could leave a comment on. Let us know what you think. Be a friend and tell a friend about the show. We're testing in Indianapolis right now. We're testing there, and we're having a great time. I'm in the pink and white number 24 Chevrolet polka dot. Let's go. Let's ride. And we'll see you guys next week. We're going to have I hope to have Kyle Larson on the show. We shall see. It's also going to be a maybe record on Sunday type thing again. So we will let you guys know. But thank you so much for listening yet again on Speed Street.
We're flying on Speed Street.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.